To do an analysis before we enter into the Aseres Yemei Teshuva of the tefillos that we're going to say. And I think the reason for that is because most people, we look through the tefillos of the year, so we find we have the basic tefillah that we say every day, and then you have special for Shabbos and for Yontif. But by far, the most astounding tefillah that we have is the tefillah that said, Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And quite frankly, I remember as a young bachur in yeshiva, when I first began to realize what was going on in the world, the first time I davened really with kavana on Rosh Hashanah, I finished the Shemoneh Esrei, and I remember being very frustrated. Because after all, we all know that Rosh Hashanah is the day in which everything is set in motion for the coming year. The Chazal say everything is decreed on Rosh Hashanah. Chok Yisrohu, Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. This is rooted in the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's interesting that in the Chumash there is absolutely no mention of Rosh Hashanah being Yom HaDin, but we find the Pasuk in Tehillim that I just mentioned, and it's rooted essentially in the Torah Shebaal Peh. But we go with the Emunah that Rosh Hashanah is the day that everything is decreed. You have the Gemara Maseches Beah that says that the most Ksuvim Lo Mi Rosh Hashanah, everything, a person's health, all the things that are going to transpire to a person are decreed on Rosh Hashanah. So one would think that the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, after all, this is the time that tefillah is so, so crucial. Right? Rosh Hashanah is not a time that we focus so much on learning. Even the biggest and greatest yeshivas and kollelim in the world spend their day mainly in tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. So you would think that the tefillah should be basically the Avinu Malkeinu put into the Shemoneh Esrei form. In other words, it should be all the bakashas. Hashem should give us life, and Hashem should give us health, and Hashem should give us parnasa. And yet, I remember, it's amazing. You look in the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, and you see almost no mention of any of that. Almost no mention. All right, what do we have? So you have, we'll touch on, you have a few spots that it's put in, but essentially, the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is v'chein tein pachtecha Hashem alkeinu al kol ma'asecha v'emoscho kol ma'asha barosa, that we mispalo for the kvod shamayim, that Hashem should put his fear on all of the people of the world and so forth, that there should be a revelation to the nations of the world of the greatness of Hashem and so on and so forth. And you say to yourself, okay, like you're waiting. Okay, very good, very good. So now I said that. Now where's my chance to ask Hashem for life? Where's my chance to ask Hashem for parnasa? It's kamat not there. It's astounding. Where is it in the tefillah? And if it's not there, so then why do we have the tefillah the way we have it? And in turn, if we have the tefillah the way we have it, is it appropriate for a person to ask for his personal needs on Rosh Hashanah? So basically, the Kabbalah that we have is, we know that the tefillos that were instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Chazal tell us Anshei Knesset HaGdolah comprised of people who were not just Gedolei Torah, but they had Nevi'im amongst them, people with tremendous knowledge, tremendous insight into the real world. And it's unclear who is exactly responsible for the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. After all, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are the authors of the basic tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. It's their indications that perhaps it came later. You have reference in the Gemara to Kiyosa the Bei Rav, that it sounds like from Rav, the Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros were composed by the Amora Rav, which was a later period of time. But even so, the fact is that the tefillos were made by our greatest people. And if that's the case, so we really have to understand, why was the tefillah made this way? It's so strange. It's so strange. You don't have this question the whole year. You look through all the Shemoneh Esreis, you say the whole year makes perfect sense. Okay, we can't always relate necessarily in our time to some of the bakashas that we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, but essentially everybody understands Atachon and Lavam Das and Hashivena Vilna Sarasecha and Gaul Yisrael and Refuah and Parnosa, Shema Kalei, we Kibbutz Golias, Mashiach, it makes perfect sense. But here, to the Mishkal Rishon, at a first glance, it makes no sense. So the explanation is brought in the Siddur HaGra, one of the Perushim, that on the Tefillah, the Perush of Siach Yitzchak, And it's somewhat well known, but he explains the following. And it's a remarkable insight into how a person is supposed to see the world and in turn what we're supposed to be striving for. And he says that, you know, we all know as parents that anyone who has a child, old enough to have a child that's already a teenager, so having children means a lot of demands. The child come, I need clothing, I need some spending money, I need this, I need that, I need to go to camp, I need a whole list of things. And a parent very often is trying very hard to satisfy these needs. But sometimes it's possible for a person who, you know, maybe doesn't have it so easy, a person who's struggling to pay the bills, to feel that, you know, you keep asking me for things, you never ask me how I'm doing, you never ask me, maybe now is not a good time, right? That's the derech. A child comes to a father and or to a mother and says, please, give me. And that's it. And there is no real consideration. Rarely do you find a real consideration given to the matzav. You know, sometimes the parent says, "Gevalt, I'm trying so hard. I work so many jobs. I try this, I try that, I try the other thing. How could you be upset? So you didn't get exactly the bike you wanted. You didn't get exactly the camera that you wanted or whatever it may be." So we sometimes have experienced this feeling. When we come to Rabbanu Shalom and the Yom HaNaroim, so we find ourselves in a very similar situation, because here we come Rosh Hashanah asking, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. Nobody ever stops to consider, so how's Rabban Shalom doing? How's Hashem doing? Now you'll say, well, that sounds funny. What does it mean? Hashem doesn't need people. But the reality is that we know that the world was created, that there should be, that Hashem invested in every human being, at Selma or Kim, Hashem invested tremendous kochos, so to speak, in every person. Every person has tremendous ability, and the goal was people were given bechira that they should make the good choices and they should emulate the ways of Hashem. And after all, only a human being had, besides a human, the similarity the Bali Musa tell us between the Rabban Shalom and a person is that the only being in the world that could choose to do anything it wants other than Hashem is a human being. That's the Tzelmo Kim, that's the Bechira that a person has. And the goal is that a person is supposed to make the right choices and be, in turn be Marba the Kvod Shemayim. But we live in a world where everywhere you turn, it's haywire. And it's not just in our time particularly so, but for all the generations, the goal, so to speak, of the Rabban Shalom really has not been met. The expectations of people has not been met. And therefore, what we find in the world is tremendous Chil Hashem. When a person walks in the street and you see people look in a depraved mode, people who aren't dressed properly, who aren't acting properly. So we say to ourselves, in the very immediate sense, oh, this is terrible, this is pritzus, this is ashchasa, I can't look at this. But there's a bigger dimension to that. The bigger dimension is, it's a Chil Hashem. Is it, this is what Hashem wanted? This is what these people were made for. So the fact of the matter is that what goes on around us, again, because we are a human being by nature, is self-centered. So a person sees themselves and sees every situation how it pertains to them. But Be'emes, what really is happening in the bigger picture is that there's tremendous Chil Hashem in the world. And as such, for a person to come on Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom HaRas Olam, on the auspicious day, the greatest day of the year, the most magnificent day of the year, and just come and say, give me, give me, give me, give me, without coming and saying, Rabban Shalom, I know, by, so to speak, Kivayachol, by you it's not so good either. In fact, by you it's worse than it is by me. Because what does Hashem have? What does Hashem have in this world? Right, but what is there? The Chazal saying, "Yam shechar beis hamikdash ein lo kach baruch hu dalat am shalach bilvad." There's no place. You go to so many cities, so many places. The Rosh Hashanah has nothing. All there is Chil Hashem. So the Chachamim felt that on Rosh Hashanah, a person has the one day of the year, a person has to connect with that. a person has to say, don't come with me. See the bigger picture. You have a relationship with Hashem, you're coming with Hashem and asking for things. So take into consideration the fact, take into major consideration the fact that there's tremendous Chil Hashem going on. And therefore, as such, we have to come first and foremost and be mispal for that. And we have, the person has to be able to work on himself to sincerely feel that it's not even appropriate. It's not even appropriate for me to come and ask myself without first realizing and the tsar of the Shekhinah, which was an expression that you say, how could that be? But we find the Chazal such an expression several times, right? The tsar of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that there is nothing going, that most things in the world that go on are not the way Hashem would have wanted it to be. And therefore, the Chachamim made a tefillah on Rosh Hashanah that is mind-boggling. They made a tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, and we go, and it totally defies all of what we would have expected. Totally, I don't. If you would have given out a pen and a paper to everyone in this room and say, compose a tefillah for Rosh Hashanah, not one of us would have made anything that even faintly resembles the Shemoneh Esrei that we say. But the fact of the matter is, this is the inyan of Rosh Hashanah. The inyan of Rosh Hashanah, the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is that a person before, yeah, it's true, this is the day that everything gets set into motion. But the fact is that I have to realize, when I'm coming to ask, I have to realize I have a relationship with Hashem. I have a relationship with Hashem. It's not just stop putting my hand out and say, you know, give. We live today, it's called the people call in the negative sense, you know, in the age of entitlement, that everybody feels they're entitled to everything. So we also feel that we're entitled to everything. And a person could come to Rosh Hashanah and say, well, I'm expecting to have a good life. I'm expecting to have parnas. I'm expecting to have all these things. That is not the attitude. That's not the approach. The Chazal taught us, the Ruach Kodshim taught us that that's not the way to go. The way to go is concern yourself once a year with the Kvod Shemayim. On the greatest day of the year, concern yourself with the Kvod Shemayim. And if you concern yourself with that, that would be a schus. That would be a tremendous schus that Hashem will then in turn give us what we want. And as such, this is the underlying theme of the tefillahs of the Yom Ne'orim. This is what we find. Very often you have people who don't understand this, and you know, we come Rosh Hashanah all pumped up that we're going to daven, we know we have to daven, so it's very easy to have the wrong kavanah. So you could have a person start Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem, please give me life, give me parnasa, my children should have shidduchim, and everything, should have good health, and Christ get a raise, right? So a lot of people daven like that, but that's not correct. That's not what the words mean. The words have no shaykhus to that. So we have to try, and this is an avoda before Rosh Hashanah that a person has to try. It's not just a tshuva. Of course, we all engage in, hopefully, in attempting to do some sort of tshuva before Rosh Hashanah and L'chol HaPachos before Yom Kippur. But the fact of the matter is that a person has to make a hachana for Rosh Hashanah. He has to prepare himself to come and say such a Shemoneh Esrei. You have to prepare. You can't just walk into shul, open up a machzor, and say Shemoneh Esrei like this. It's a joke. It's a joke, because you say, this is nothing to do with me. This is not what I... Who wrote this script? What kind of lawyer? If you hired a lawyer to defend you and he wrote such a... This is where you get up in front of the judge and say, what are you talking about? This is not... You must have given me someone else's file. What is this? You give me the one. You know, where's all my list? I had 28 requests that I wanted to make. We have to understand, this is the tefillah that we're supposed to say. And the people who taught us to say this were people who were in the know. And much in the same way that when a doctor prescribes medicine and you go to the pharmacy to pick it up and you say to yourself, how in the world for such a machla can such a pill make a difference? Right? How could it be? It doesn't make any sense. Such a machla, it's machla, Chmal Tzon used to kill people left and right. Right? And now you take this little pill and the problem goes away. But we don't ask such kashas. We just do it And we say, Almanas Kane, somehow somebody figured out that this is what's going to work, and I'm going to do it, Besimcha, and that's what I'm going to do. And that has to be the attitude that we bring with us to the tefillahs of the Yom HaNaron. This is the time that a person has to concern himself with the Kvod HaShechina, and in that schus, there should be, in turn, a reciprocation from Hashem, that Hashem should give us what we want. Now, the truth of the matter is, having said this, so one would say that, so then, all right, so then maybe I shouldn't say anything in my Shmona Esrei that's personal. Maybe go with it. Just go with the way it is. Go with the tefillah. So it's true that we have some insertions, minor insertions, Achreinu L'chaim, we'll get to that soon, right? Other things that we ask for, right? Ksov L'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'risecha. But basically, that's not the Ikka Tefillah by far. That's not the Ikka Tefillah. And therefore, maybe we should just go with what we, you know, go, so I won't say anything for myself. So we have, again, in the Mesorah, we have, there is a, in the Sefer Koch Ve'or, so he brings down, it's also brought in the Siddur Agro, but it's slightly different in the Sefer Koch Ve'or and the Sofas in the back. So there is a piece from Reuven Katz. Reuven Katz was one of the Gedolim of the previous generation. Svarim, Degel Reuven, Shavos and Shuvah, so other great Adam Gadol lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Reuven Katz says the following. He says that he once heard from Reb Itzel Petterberger. Reb Itzel Petterberger was one of the prime Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter. So Reb Yisrael Salanter said, had what to say about this tefillah of Shemana Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. And he said that he doesn't, Rabbi Yisrael said that in his opinion, we're not today holding on the Madrega to say such a tefillah alone. For a person to just stand, get up and say such a Shemana Esrei, it's, who are you fooling? You're going to get up and say, do you really care? Does a person really care? I care so much about the Kvod Shemayim, how come the whole year I don't care about it? All of a sudden, and this is the day that I know that everything in my life is being set into motion, and all I care about is the Tzar HaShechina, all I care about is the Kvod Shemayim. So Rabbi Yisrael said that once upon a time, when people stood Shemona Esrei, they felt mamish that they were Omid Lefnei HaMelech, they felt that they were standing in the presence of Ribbono Shalom, Kedasa Kedim. And therefore, a person like that could potentially say such a tefillah. However, Rabbi Yisrael said that in our times, we're not holding on that madrega. So Rabbi Yisrael said, so therefore, and it could almost be to the point that if a person is not holding on the madrega, then the whole tefillah goes down the drain. Because you don't mean what you're saying, and you didn't say anything else, and that's all you said, and what you said, who are you fooling? You really think that? You're so concerned about Chil Hashem, you're so concerned about the Kvod Shemayim, what do you do the rest of the year? So Rabbi Yisrael said initially that in his opinion, a person before Rosh Hashanah has to really put tremendous effort into saying these tefillahs, meaning that he has to really prepare himself and he has to be very, very careful that when he says this tefillah, that it should be said with sincerity. Because if it's not said with sincerity, so then a person ends up in the following situation. What I said, I didn't mean. What I care about, I didn't say. So how could that be? I passed up the opportunity to ask for myself because ostensibly I'm asking for the Kvod Shemayim. But I didn't really ask for the Kvod Shemayim either because I'm not holding on that Madrega. So why did I daven like that? So Ken Zayin, the reason I daven like that is because I'm not Machshav Rosh Hashanah. I don't really consider Rosh Hashanah to be important. In other words, it's not just that the person is going to say the tefillah without sincerity that he was concerned about. But he was concerned further that if you're going to say the tefillah like that and you're not sincere, so then you didn't say what you said you didn't mean, what you care about you didn't say, so how could you let the whole Rosh Hashanah pass davening like that? Must be that you don't really believe that Rosh Hashanah is the day that makes that everything is decided. So it comes out that saying such a tefillah would actually backfire on a person. This is the way Reb Itzel Petterberger says over what Reb Yisrael held. It's brought in the Siddur Agra, but not exactly with the same clarity. In the Koch Ve'or, it's spelled out. So this is 100 and some odd years ago, 150 years ago, that Reb Yisrael made this plea to people that before they come into Daven Rosh Hashanah, they should really try to focus on the tefillah. Prepare yourself. You're going to say a tefillah, you have to say it with some sincerity. I heard from my Rebbe Zatzal, the Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim, said many times that Bismanenu, it's gufa for this reason, that that this was Rabbi Zvi Petterberger said 120 years ago. What would be said today? So he said that today, it's for this reason important that a person should, at the end of the tefillah, put in his own bakashas. Because of the fact that today we've slipped even further. So today, and it could be, I think he said that Rabbi Zvi would have agreed to this also, that's really what he meant. In other words, in order that a person, to come and say, look, Hashem, this is my tefillah. All I care about is the Kvod Shemayim, and in the schus of this Mesiris Nefesh, that I'm passing up my own interest to be mispal for the Kvod Shemayim, please give me a good year. Right? That's essentially the concept behind the tefillah. But that's only true if you care about the Kvod Shemayim, and if not, not. So in order to make it that there should be sincerity to the tefillah, he held it was important that a person should put in his own bakashas at the end. Because when I'm putting in my own bakashas at the end, so I'm not passing up the whole Rosh Hashanah. I'm not walking away and saying I only care about the Kvod Shemayim, because that would be a good thing to say if that's really the way you felt. But if you don't really feel that way, so then how does the tefillah work for you? So the way the tefillah works is that a person at the end of the tefillah says, listen, this is what I want. But Wamaisa, my ikar tefillah was not that. You see, this is what I want. I this is what I need. This is what I'm asking for. But the fact of the matter is that I have bypassed the opportunity to ask for that in the main Shemon Esrei, and instead, I'm asking for the Kvod Shemayim. And in that way, it balances out that it's Piv Libo Shav, and in that way, it's Shaykh for a person to have the sincerity in his tefillah. That a person, Be'emes, I'm coming to daven for my own things, Avada. But at the same time, I'm not going to make that the ikar of my Shemone Esrei. So you see that I'm Machshav Rosh Hashanah. I'm obviously Machshav Rosh Hashanah because I'm davening for my own things, and I'm obviously very concerned that this is the day that it's all being decided. But at the same time, I'm going to make it that the main thrust of my tefillah should not be that. And thus we have the format that I think most people follow, is that in the Shemone Esrei itself, you don't really have so many places to put in the requests. But in the Tachanunim, at the end of the Shemone Esrei, if the person says, L'kai Netzor, after the Bracha, I'm a Varech Hazam Yisrael B'Shalom, Osa Shalom, whatever the minig is, to say, at that point is where a person puts in his own tefillahs. So this is the structure. This is the structure of the tefillah that we have. And as I said at the outset, this is the only word I could think of is astounding. There is the most incredible tefillah, the absolutely most incredible tefillah. Nobody, no person ever would have composed such a tefillah without some sort of Ruach HaKadosh, without some sort of incredible yidia, without some sort of incredible insight into how to deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. But this is the tefillah that we say, and this is the tefillah, even for us, it requires a certain hachana. A person can't walk into Rosh Hashanah Sunday night and walk in and say, oh, say Baruch Hu, and he'll sing the Nagunim with the Chazan, and they open up the Shemone Esrei and just say it. It's kemat impossible. It's kemat impossible without a person sensitizing themselves. If you want the tefillah to work, you have to sensitize yourself to what you're saying. And what you're saying is not what anybody expected to say. So this is a hachana, an avoda that must be taken care of in advance, to some measure, in advance of Rosh Hashanah, that we should daven with sincerity and get that the tefillah should work for us. Now, we find there are, as we all know, there are places in the Shemone Esrei that the Chazal put in places that we could daven for ourselves. This is known. We have, first and foremost, Zecheinu L'Chaim, and then you have later on, you have Chsov L'Chaim Tovim, Sefer Chaim. There are actually four insertions, but the second one, Micha Mocha Verachim, and Zochir Tzuv L'Chaim Verachim, is not a bakasha, that's just a praise, so that really we can't count in this cheshbon. But the other three are requests. Now, the truth of the matter is that here also, continuing the idea of the astounding tefillah, here again we have an astounding thing. Because it's well known, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, the Daf Yomi, I'm not keeping track, but I probably just learned it recently, or should be right around there now, Daf Lamed Dalet, got up to that already? Yeah, okay, so the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Lamed Dalet, that the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, La'olam al yishal adam tzrochav, lo b'sholosh rishonos, lo b'sholosh achronos, elabem tzoyos. A person should not ask for his needs, not in the first three brachas, and not in the last three brachas, the Shemoneh Esrei, but only in the middle. He's referring, obviously, to the weekday Shemoneh Esrei, but it's true on Shabbos too, it's true on Yom Tov too. In other words, the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei is where you have Shabbos, Yom Tov, Faruchni, Yisritzeh, Kachenim, Sosecha, Senkel, Kenim, Sosecha, but that's where it's found. The bakoshas that a person makes are not found at the beginning of the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, essentially, right? The Gemara tells us, prior to this, right before, the Gemara says that, actually right after, the Amr of Chanina, Rishonos Dome Le'evet Shemisader Shevach Lufnei Rabo, that the first brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei can be considered analogous to an Eved who is Misader, his praises, when he goes to his master, he puts forth the praises of the master before he comes with his requests. First, the Derech Eretz is, first say something nice, first say something respectful, a recognition of who you're talking to. So that's the first part of Shemoneh Esrei. And the Emtsoya is Doma Le'evet Shemavakish Prasmi Rabo. And the middle brachas can be compared to an Eved who is asking from his master. And the Achronos Doma Le'evet Shekibol Prasmi Rabo V'nifta V'holochlo. And the last brachas are comparable to an Eved who has already received his request and now he's heading on his way. And this is his final words to his master. So that's the Shemoneh Esrei that we are all familiar with. That's the Shemoneh Esrei. The first three brachos, the weekday Shemoneh Esrei that we say, with all the bakashas, it's all in the center. Nothing is put in the first three, nothing is put in the last three. So comes Rosh Hashanah, and everything goes haywire. So comes Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, we don't have a single request. Nothing. Because we're davening for the Kvod HaShechina. So where do we have? So you have Zecheinu L'Chaim, where they put that in? That was put in by the Gaonim. That was put in the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. Exactly in the place that the Gemara said, you're not supposed to do that. And then you have Chsov L'Chaim Tovim at the end. Also in a place you're not supposed to do that. So what's going on over here? The tefillah seems to be upside down. So the emes is that this kasha is asked by the Rishonim, Toshis here on the daf, asked this kasha, and he makes an amazing diak in the Gemara. Brings down, there's actually, the Emes, if you look in the poskim, you'll see that there was controversy over this. These insertions to the tefillah, these four, the famous four of Zechreinu and Micha Mocha, etc., these four are from the Gaonim, they're not from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. That impacts on the halacha. That's why if you forgot to say it, you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, you don't even have to go back to the place that you skipped it, right? You could just go further because of the fact that it's from the Gaonim, it's from a later period. The Emes is, you look in the poskim, you'll see that even amongst the Gaonim, there was a great dispute because there were those who quoted this Gemara and said, you can't do such a thing. So Tezis here on the Daf quotes from Rabbeinu Tam and really from Rav Haigong that he says that like this, he makes a diak in the Gemara, Al Yishal Adam Tzrachav, that an Adam, a Yochid, cannot ask for his needs. So he says, Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Chananu, I'm sorry. Rabbeinu, I have to get stronger glasses. Rabbeinu Chananu, Rabbeinu Hai, Dafka L'Yochid, Avol Tzorche Tzibur Sholim, U'l'kachanu Omrim, Zochreinu, U'krovetz, V'yal V'yavol, Bohem. Alright, so this answer is really the kasha. The truth of the matter is, this question is not exclusively limited to Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Menorah, because the fact of the matter is, you could ask on this Gemara that how come you say Al V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, you say towards the end, or even on Yontif by the, not by Musaf, in Chol HaMoed, you say in Ritzei, which is one of the last three brachas, according to the Gemara, you're not supposed to do that, and Al V'Yavo is itself a bakasha, right? Zachreinu Hashem Okeinu Bo L'Tova, Fakeinu Bo L'Vracha, Sheinu Bo L'Chaim, these are requests. So where does that come in? So the Rishonim say that the pshat is because of the fact that what the Gemara said you're not supposed to do is for an individual. But for a rabbin could do it. When you're davening for the rabbin, so then you could say the tefillah even in the Shalosh Rishonos. Why should that be? So it's brought in the Rosh, a little more of a arichus. The Rosh here, following this shita, the Rosh says that the reason is because of the fact that kovet hu l'rav shaharabim tzrichim lo. Because it's a kovet. It's a kovet. In other words, the first part of the Shemoneh Esrei is where you're praising Hashem. Right? That's the first part. You're saying all the praises, all the godless of Hashem. So you're praising Hashem. So at that time, to ask for the Tzarchei Rabim, you'll say that that's a request, that's not a praise. But in a sense, it's a praise. Because when you're saying that we all depend on you, that's the greatest praise. So therefore, for that reason, it was allowed to be put in. This is what the Rishonim say. Now, the Shaila is, how exactly does it tie in? So you'll say, okay, good, but where does it come? And what does this have to do with anything in the middle of the, you know, when you read the Shemoneh Esrei, it seems almost bizarre, like, what did I say? All of a sudden, just out of random thoughts, Achreinu L'chaim El Chafetz B'chaim. So the Teretz is that this is because it's brought in the Rishonim, also Ram, others say that there's a pasuk that in Tehillim, there's an in Perek Kuf Hei in Tehillim. One will see there that David HaMelech recounted in Tehillim there the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and at the end of the Yitzias at the end of the whole speech, all the nisim that Hashem performed by the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So there's a pasuk that says Ki Zochar Es Devar Kodesho Es Avraham Oavo. That the reason why Hashem orchestrated the Holy Yitzias Mitzrayim was because Ki Zochar Es Devar Kodesho, he remembered his promise that he made to Avram. In other words, Avram was told, we all know, the Bris Ben Absarim, Avram was told about the fact that the Klai Yisrael were going to go to Mitzrayim, V'achar Echein Yetzu B'Rechush Gol, they're going to be taken out. So ultimately, the Holy Yitzias Mitzrayim was because of a promise that Hashem made to Avram. As such, in the bracha, Magen Avram, which is the place that is identified with Avram, and it's identified with Zechira, that's why we say, because Avram is synonymous with Zechira. What does it mean Avram is synonymous with Zechira? Because of the fact that the good that has come to the Klal Yisrael and the Bris Ben Absarim and Yitzias Mitzrayim and other things as well are all tied back to the promise that Hashem made to Avram. So Avram is Ki Zochar Es Devar Kodesho Es Avram Oavo. That's Avram Avinu. That's the promise, the commitment that Hashem made to Avram. That's why we say even V'Zochar Chas Deovus U'Mevi Gol V'Nei V'Neim U'Man Shmo Bavel. Again, the Zechira. Because Hashem will remember the godless of the others, but particularly Avram, so and bring the Gula. So in that place, that was why we say this piece, this Bakosha, Zechreinu L'chaim, even though it seems totally random, totally out of character to what else is being said, but nevertheless, this is the inyan behind this tefillah. Now, there's a diuk that is made here by many people, which is important diuk to take note of. And that is that we say Zochreinu L'chaim instead of Zochreinu L'chaim Tovim. So you'll say, what's the big deal? Well, look at the other things that we say. L'chsov L'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'Yisecha. Right? The Sefer Chaim Baruch Hashem L'chaim Tovim L'chaim Tovim U'l'sholom. But here, obviously, we let Hashem off easy, so to speak. Zochreinu L'chaim. Zochreinu L'chaim. Why do I say Zochreinu L'chaim Tovim? So, there are a number of terutzim that are said. One could look in the parish of Rav Chaim Friedlander, Inis Avram. There's a whole arichas on this. But there's a different, I don't want to get involved with that. It's very beautiful what he says. But there is a teretz that's given, that's brought, that the whole inyan, Bechlal, we said, the Rosh said that the first part of the Shemoneh Esrei is speaking about the greatness of Hashem. Rabim Tzrichim Lo, speaking about the greatness of Hashem. To, as such, the Bakosha of Zochreinu L'chaim is not a Bakosha that we should have a good life. That's not the issue. The issue is that Zachreinu L'chaim of Ruchnius, that Zachreinu L'chaim, that we should be able to bring Kavod Hashem, because that's where it fits in the Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, at that part of the Shemoneh Esrei, we're in fact not asking for ourselves, right? We're speaking about the greatness of Hashem. And therefore, it's important to know that when a person says this tefillah, what the person is saying is, Zachreinu L'chaim, that I should remember us collectively. You have to be mispalel for the tzibur. That's the whole heter to put the bakasha in that place. You have to say Zachreinu in the plural. But Zachreinu L'chaim is the pshat that remember us for life. Kosveinu b'sefer achaim l'mancha elokim chaim. L'mancha means for your sake. For your sake, not for my sake. For your sake, Hashem. Meaning that the reason why we're asking for life is so that we should be able to bring Kavod HaShchinah. This is the reason why we don't say L'chaim Tovim. Because L'chaim Tovim, that's already something when a person's asking exclusively for himself. Say, I want a good life, I want all good things. But if my Kavona is to be Marbet Kvod Shemayim, a person can be Marbet Kvod Shemayim any which way. As long as a person is alive, a person has the ability to be Marbet Kvod Shemayim. So therefore, it's incongruous. That's not the place to say Chaim Tovim. It's saying Zachreinu L'chaim. We want life. Why do we want life? L'mancha Elokim Chaim. And it's important to realize this, that the L'mancha Elokim Chaim is really a theme that a person has to realize. That ultimately, you know, we have a very big challenge living in Golis all these years. We're totally callous to the whole thing. But, you know, one of the great challenges of living in Golis is that you take on the attitudes of the Goyim. It's only natural. You take on, you know, we obviously point to styles and different ways of speech, etc. But worse than that, far worse than that, is the fact that you don't even know anymore what's the Hashkafas HaTorah. Like, you're just used to the way the Goyim think. And that presents a very big problem, even in the most basic issue of life. Because the attitude of a goy to life is not the same attitude as a yid to life. Because goyim live at olam hazeh. That's a goy's life. That's a goy's life. There's an amazing thing. It's almost remarkable to say such a thing. But just agav, I know I'm watching the clock, but the Maral says in the Chedushei HaGadus, in the Gemara in Kedushin, so we have the second half of the first parak Kedushin, you have the famous sugyas of Kibud Av V'Em. So we find there the very well-known incident of Dama ben Nesina. Dama ben Nesina was a goy who showed tremendous honor to his father that they came, the Chachamim came, and they wanted, he had a stone that was needed for the Choshen Mishpat, and the father was sleeping on the key, and he didn't wake him up, v'chuli v'chuli. We know the mice. So the Maral asks an amazing question. The Maral says that if you think about it, Kibud Av V'Em, such a great mitzvah. Who are the people that are synonymous with Kibud Av V'Em? Esav and a goy. Esav, whatever you want to consider him to be, and a goy. So l'chor, it's a pliatzuma. You have a mitzvah in the Torah, and it's dominated by such people. You would think that the mitzvah in the Torah should be dominated by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiva, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, right? Who are the people that are identified with this? The people that are identified with this are Esav and a goy. How could it be? Are you talking? How could it be such a thing? So the Maral says, it's unbelievable, you have to see it inside. The Maral says, pshat, that the reason is because a goy lives for this world. And because, that's the whole world by the goy. That's it. It's this world. Have as good, best, as good a time as you can have in the time that you have. That's it. As such, the ultimate hakaras hatov that a goy has is to his father. But a yid lives for the olam haba. So therefore we know already, the Gemara tells us in El Metzias, the Gemara tells us that Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabo Kodemes, because Aviv mevi el chayom hazeh.
So therefore, there's a different attitude. A father brings a person into this world. A Rebbe brings a person into the next world. Says the Maral, that's why no Yid could ever, in other words, if a person sincerely wants to do Kippur Aveim, ultimately no Yid could ever match a guy. Because the covet that a person's giving to his parents, what's the covet? Because you brought me into this world. But I live for more than that. I live for a much bigger picture than that. So therefore, I can never have that same chshiva as much as I'll try, but I can't have the same chashivas that a guy would have. And therefore, says the Maral, this mitzvah is dominated by such people. Amazing, amazing thing. But the point is, what does it have to do with us? Because we live in a world where this is the attitude. This is the attitude. And therefore, it creeps in more and more. And especially in our times, where we have, first of all, relative shalom with the goyim, we're accepted to the fullest extent, certainly in this country. And on top of that, we've been blessed with great affluence, even with the terrible economy and all the problems that have come with it. But all of us have several changes of clothes and several pairs of shoes and a house and cars and all kinds of things, which is far more than anybody ever dreamt of, even in America 100 years ago. We have a standard of living that's murdered. So what ends up happening is that a person becomes very megushim. A person gets very into this world. And on Rosh Hashanah, and kicking off the Yom HaNaroim, and I'll end with this, I have more to say, but I'll end with this, that a person has to realize that ultimately it's l'mancha elokim chayim. That is a big thing that a person, a major deher that a person has to have. That I'm not in this for myself. I'm not in this for myself. And it impacts on this attitude impacts on a person's whole status, even l'gabi the olam haba. Because we have, it's a statement that's said over, it's in print from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that Rabbi Yisrael said that if a person, we all know, I'm watching the clock, but I have a relative, a very wonderful person in my broader mishpacha, who was, today, Baruch Hashem, he's married. He was an elder of Bacher for many years, got married into his 40s. And he had a very prestigious position. He was a vice president for American Express in Manhattan, one of the numerous vice presidents, but a prestigious position nonetheless. And because he was single, they used to send him on all the business trips. He didn't have commitments, so he got to go on these trips. And he used to tell me, he said, you can't imagine, this is a major corporation, they put him up in hotels like, not shy, the premier hotel in every city that he went to is where he was put up. After all, it's a covet for them, this is how they treat their people. And he said, it's amazing, he could have run up an expense account in a restaurant, he could have eaten hundreds and hundreds of dollars, he's a frum yid, so he had to get the airline meals, so that's what he ate. But the fact of the matter is, he said, all of this was coming to him, and it did not come off a salary. It didn't come off a salary. Why not? Because you're there for the company. So if you're there for the company, it doesn't come off your salary. That's the shteger. That's the way it works in the world. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that the same thing is true. That if a person lives his life with Shem Shemayim, so then whatever comes to him in the Gashmias, but if his attitude is that I'm doing this because L'mancha Elokim Chayim, so then it doesn't come off the tab. And it doesn't, okay, I charge it to the company. Charge it to the company. Listen, Hashem, you want me to be Mekayeh Hashem Shema? I have to eat. I need clothes. I need to get around today. I need a car. I need several cars, whatever it may be. I need all kinds of things. But the fact is that's if a person does it with that kavanah. But if a person does it without that kavanah, so the quote they have from Rabbi Yisrael is that even the tzimis that he eats can come off his cheshbon olam haba. So then what he takes from the world, so you say, well, I have a good life. Yeah, but that the schusim that the person would have gotten in the next world are being paid out up front. And nobody wants that. So therefore, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and through the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, right at the beginning of the tefillah, a person, we have a very big message, a very big deher that we have to have, that is l'mancha l'kim chayim. The person is living l'mancha. I'm living for your sake. And if I haven't been living for your sake until now, now's the time to maybe make some adjustment. Maybe now's the time to start thinking that. Because if I'm living Lamancha, so then I could ask for Chaim, then I could say, Rebbeinu Shlomo, give me Chaim, please, give me Chaim, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. That's the whole purpose. That's where it fits into the Shemoneh Esrei to pray. Lo amesim yahalul ka. Right. In other words, only live people can praise Hashem. Only live people can be marbid kvod shemayim. So therefore, I need life for that purpose. That is the tefillah that we're saying in the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. And in as much as in other places we could think for ourselves, but we have to always remember: you want it to go on the company tab, or you want it to come out of your salary. That's something that maybe during the year we don't think about, but at least when it comes to Yom Narom, we should try to focus on that. Umemela, a person would be zocha to tremendous madrega of tshuva, because my whole lifestyle is changing. Because whatever I do is being done for a different purpose. I could be doing even the same things, but I just have a different attitude. I have a different approach. And that different approach could make all the difference in the world in everything that I do. Good to see you.